You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
That is awesome stuff. And we saw that in the first service. And, you know, one of the things that touched me about that and Cody's testimony, hearing it the second time, is how he talked about the darkness and the light. And, you know, we talk about it here, but when somebody stands up and gives the testimony about having experienced that change and just growing tired of that darkness and then coming into this relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's not just us who stand up here every week and tell you guys, it's you guys standing up and saying, no, there really is something about this Jesus. He brought light into my life and he changed it. And when we talk about life change and that, Cody, that testimony just expressed that immensely, and we are so glad that you are part of the family. So let him know that you're glad he's a part of the family. We are continuing our series about Be Real and talking about prayer, and we thought that we would do a little something different today, that we would have a little interview as we are focusing on stress. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to find somebody who is an expert in stress. And I found a person who is. And fortunately, this is a very busy guy, but fortunately, he was available today. And so I'm going to introduce now my very good friend, somebody I love very dearly, Pastor Ryan Riddell, pastor of Shelter Community Church.
What's up, bud? Good to see you. It's a little different. Back to Cody's baptism, there's two things that came to my mind, and I mentioned this in the first service. The first one was having to follow him, Chris, our arm. He makes our arms look really, really small.
No doubt about that.
You know? But the other thing I think is really cool is, you know, it was probably 7, 8 years ago, or 8 or 9, but that's when Todd started coming, Cody's dad. And he came up, I remember, when he started playing the harmonica and just what he did for the band. It was a different kind of thing, man. You don't see very many harmonicas in worship bands on Sunday morning. But, man, Todd brought something to us. And not only that, but Todd coming in, and I think he found us through a recovery group. Was it through Matt or Margaret? It was from who? Mario, praise God. And Mario was the link. And Todd coming and Todd finding life change, Todd being baptized and what it's done for his whole entire family. And it's working. It's moving. And see Vicky's here every week serving coffee. Praise God. Todd's mom was here. We've seen things happen for his dad. His dad has passed. And man, and God is just moving and working. And I believe that. I believe that when the father makes a choice and makes a decision to come to know Jesus, it can't help but infect the entire family. It's a powerful thing. Amen.
Right. Well, we're going to have an interview today. And since we're talking about stress, one of the first questions that we wanted to start off with was a question that recognizes that ministry can be stressful, right? From week to week, day to day. Yet, then there's times, these special times, it seems like, that the stress really just shoots through the roof. And you've had an experience like that here at Shelter. Mm-hmm. And that experience really made you start to ask the question, how in the world am I going to make it through this?
That's right.
Why don't you share a little bit about that?
Well, we're coming up on our third year here in this building. You guys realize that? Third year anniversary. First week in November. And prior to that, you know, we were at the old place on John Glenn. And we were, you know, God was moving and he was answering our prayers and we just saw things happen. And like I shared earlier, it's that, you know, really I have believed for a very long time that what God has given us as a church is something very, very powerful. And you know, he's given us his Spirit, and his Spirit moves through this community, moves through this people. And you know, we talk about the hurting, dying, and the empty, and the lost. We talk about unchurched and out-of-church people. We talk about being real and being transformed. And at the old place, these conversations are nothing new since we've talked about this stuff for a long time, and it just kind of became a part of our culture as a church. And we believe that early on, when we were at the old place, that God was going to do something, that God was going to move us, because we found limitations as to where we were. We were in a beautiful little neighborhood in Belmont, and there's a little building there on John Glenn, and we were parking in the grass, and we were sending our kids downstairs to this old moldy basement, and we were praying that God would help us, because we just had serious limitations. And I believed, and the leadership believed, and I think all of us believed, that God wanted to take this message that he had given us, this calling that he had given us, and he wanted it to be expanded. And the only way that we believed that we could see that expanded was God bringing us to a new space, a new place, and he brought us here. And so, but with that came, you know, some difficult trials at times.
So when you were at John Glenn, you ran into all of these issues where you couldn't expand. The parking lot was too small. The basement was moldy. All of that.
Water in the basement.
Oh, yeah. And that's where the kids' ministry was.
And you know, when you're talking about families and bringing families in, I mean, you know, we needed, you know, we were praying for a clean, nice, clean, practical space for our kids, irresistible environments. And this place was extremely resistible. It was not irresistible by any stretch. And we just knew God had something else.
So you knew about this change. And you, after realizing that, okay, we've got to make a change, you start seeking God out. And one of the first things was that you and I started to meet over at John Glenn.
Right.
And we started to pray about this situation. And there was a particular issue that we had to focus on.
Yeah.
You want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, and this is before Chris. Chris was pastoring another church, him and Judy. But Chris and I have been best friends. We've been close friends for a very, very long time. And Chris would meet me on his way to the base, because he also worked at the base, had another job like I did. And we would meet in the morning, and we were meeting in the morning, and we were praying. Yeah, and we began to pray that God would open up something, that God would move, and that we would just receive his favor. At that time, it was probably about like in 07, 2007, this place, I was driving by and it came on the market. And as a realtor, I went online and was looking at it. It was $1.7 million. And it was way beyond what we could even think about. But yet, I still wanted to see it. So I called Keith, Pastor Keith, and I called my dad, and I called some church leaders, some board leaders, some leadership, part of the leadership team. And we met. And the realtor let us in. I remember he let us in, and the three that were on the board, the leadership team, they came in, and they walked right out, because this place was nasty. I mean, it was bad. It was there was sticky. The floors were sticky. The seats were here, and I mean, it was crazy, man. It had pink wall, the pink wallpaper. I'll never forget the zigzaggy wallpaper. So $1.7 million, there's just no way. And so, going back, there was some frustration. And we just kept praying. And this wasn't the only space we looked at. But I just knew that there was something that God wanted to do.
Yeah. And so when we started to pray in the morning, you also started to take a look at your past and examine how you had done things in the past, and you wanted to do something different.
Yeah.
Tell them about that.
Well, I, not just with church stuff, but one of my lies or one of the things I believed about myself was that for whatever reason, I wasn't good enough for God to bless me like he has other people. And I just, it really filtered through the way I worked and through the way, I pastored, through just, there was just this lie, and I, for whatever reason, I wasn't good enough to receive God's blessing. And so because I wasn't good enough, there was always this temptation to try to manufacture God's blessing. And so I remember when we were at West Carrollton as a Saturday night service, this is like goes back 15 years ago. We were a Saturday night, just a little service, a bunch of college and career people. And I remember we believed then that God was going to move us. And there was a building across the way down the road. And I thought the Lord was going to move the shelter into one of those little storefronts. And that we were going to, you know, bring revival to that whole backside of West Carrollton. And man, I remember the day that the realtor called and said, "No, Ryan, we're not going to let you guys have that." I remember, I was just devastated because I was so, you know, that was another point where there was just this roadblock where I just, you know, looking for God to do something. And in my business, I've taken on things and really Beth has endured some of the things that I have done in terms of investment property and trying to do things beyond what I should be doing, man, trying to manufacture that blessing. And it's gotten us into a lot of pain in 07, 08, 09, 2000, yeah, a lot of pain. But the Lord, with Chris's help, helped me to come to an understanding that you know what, I am good enough to receive God's blessing, and that all I have to do is just trust in Him. And so we, through our prayer and through different things with the leadership team and some of those that are here even this morning that were part of that, you guys know, we began to really press into God and ask God to move to show us what He would have for us. And it wasn't long after that that this building, I got a price reduction that came through my email and through my MLS. And it had dropped the price from $1.7 to like, it was like $850,000. And I thought, wow, that now maybe, I don't know how in the world that ever could happen. It'd be a miracle, but maybe God's trying to show us something. So anyways, we begin to move
in that direction. So God started to put it on your heart to pursue this property, which was the old Checkers Dollar Theater.
Yeah.
And this was going to become the new location for Shelter Community Church. Yeah. So you started to go through that process.
Right.
And then you started hitting walls, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes when you hit those walls, you started to feel again, how in the world am I going to get through this, right? So what were some of those walls that you hit?
Well, I pulled my journal out just to kind of look, and there's like 18 documented, what we called at the time, like miracles. I mean, documented, they were confirmations, and they were just miracles where God had gone above and beyond. One was, you know, I remember initially it was, it will be a miracle. You can list this place, Ryan, but it'll be a miracle if you ever get over $200,000 for the building. And I remember we had two pastors to call on our old building, and I told them we had it priced at $235, $240, something like that. And they're like, well, that's way too high. It's way out of our price point. And I began to think, oh man, you know, but it was within 45 days that we got an offer. And the offer was for $226,000, and we got to keep our chairs. And the chairs you're sitting in, you know, those are $12,000. You know what I mean? So it was like a $240,000 full price offer, and it was a beautiful thing, you know. But there was just one thing after another. I remember when we accepted the contract, it was like, okay, Ryan, now what? You know, we sell this. That place is not anywhere near, this theater was not anywhere near, you know, any kind of condition to have a church. Where are we going to meet? And I remember going to Keith and the time Zach about that, thinking, what in the world are we going to do? You know, it would be a miracle if we find some place that we can meet. You know, we were calling schools and different things, trying to figure it out, tear down, set up, all that. And then it occurred to us that people who were buying it were Seventh-day Adventists. It was a Seventh-day Adventist Hispanic congregation, and they met on Saturdays. So we were able to stay on Sunday mornings and still have church without any interruption. It was a beautiful thing. And then, you know, it'd be a miracle if we got in through it, and it'd be a miracle if the seller accepts your offer, because we needed seller financing. You know, we couldn't go get a loan from a bank. All right, you have to understand, we had 110 people at the time, and you know, our giving was, it was strong for our means and for what we were doing. We had like 40 or 50,000 in reserves, and but to think about, you know, an offer with seller conditions and a seller carrying financing, it'd be a miracle if that ever happens, and they accepted it. And then it'll be a miracle. We had to go back to them after we did inspections. We were going to put $135,000 down on the building. I know that sounds like a whole lot of money, but really it's not when you're talking about this kind of property, a property with where 60,000 cars drive by every day, 2 acres that with this kind of frontage. And I had to go back to them and say, you know what, we can't put $135,000 down. We're able to put $35,000 down. It'll be a miracle if they accept that. And Phil Checker, very, very gracious, accepted it. And we came in and, you know, we were able to do the things that we did. But that's when the stress began to happen. Yes. That's when the heaviness and really where we were no longer in a point or a place where God called us. Sarah sang that song, you know, call it the deep. He led us into a deep. We were way over our heads, to be honest with you. And but we knew because of confirmation after confirmation. One other thing was, it'll be a miracle if the district advisory board allows this to happen. We have oversight. So even though this is a pastor-led church, staff-led church, and we have a board that holds us accountable, there's accountability there. As pastors and leadership, we have people on the district level that hold us accountable as well. It's checks and balance kind of thing. And we had to go to present to them what we felt God was calling us to do. And I remember the DAB was cool, and they said, look, it's just a rubber stamp. You're going to meet with the properties, the Board of Properties. You have to meet with them too. That'll be next week. But just meet with them, share our vision. And I remember driving down there. Everything was cool. I was there early, believe it or not, and I'm sitting there waiting. And I remember the DS comes out, and the DS says, Ryan, they're not going to approve it. And I'm like, what do you mean they're not going to approve it? And he's like, they're not going to approve you to buy that building. And so I went back. I was pretty upset. I mean, I was mad. And again, that Lord tweaked me about taking matters in my own hands, you know, and I'm like, God, you got a problem here. And this isn't my problem. This is your problem. And I remember going back and meeting with those old geezers and sitting across the conference table with them. And I began to share with them, you know, what God had laid on our heart and what God was doing in our church and what God, how God was moving. And I remember I was there for like 40 minutes and they completely did a 180. And I remember the walking out, the DS like put his arm around me, kind of patted me on my back, put his arm around me. He's like, I have never in my life seen anything like that. And he's like, man, that was a miracle. And it was just another miracle that we had in here in our book that we had documented, you know. It was crazy.
So when you encountered each one of these problems,
yeah,
why don't you just elaborate a little bit more about how each one of these things made you feel? I mean, were you confident the whole time, or I mean, did this take you down? Tell them how you felt.
Well, like negotiating contracts and trying to make this thing work, being creative and all that, we were able to do that, and I didn't feel that. What I felt was, after we got beyond that and we started into the construction part. Because the way it works is in a commercial financing and commercial renovation, when you are renovating, and the builder told us this, he's like, Ryan, when you renovate, you never know what you're going to run into, especially a building this size. And we had that in mind, but we just believe we were doing the right thing. And so the first thing hit, which was the floors you're sitting on. These floors are actually built about six. It comes off the floor, and it's about 6 feet above where the original floor was. And we were going to do that with wood frame. And it was about $40,000 to level both sides. And I remember once we got into this, the architect had approved that, had drawn it like that. Everything was cool. And we get to the city, and the city says, no, they're not going to approve that. If you do that, it's going to require a boatload more sprinkler systems. And and sprinkler systems cause you need more water pressure coming in off the main. You need, I mean, there's more expense with fire alarms. You need fire alarm spring, on and on and on. So I remember this. So Don, our builder, got the estimate to do steel beam and poured floor. You're sitting on a poured floor with steel beams. Looks like a parking garage under there almost. And he got the price on that, and it went from $45,000 to $110,000. And then we had the issue, and I remember getting that call. I was at Tim Hortons when I got the call, and I just went in my car, and I was just, I mean, I was weeping, man. I was, because I, that happened, the sprinkler systems went from $20,000 to like $45,000 to $1,000. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. And man, we just wanted to have church. You know what I mean? We just wanted to do what we need to do. But it was very, very substantial. And I think more than anything was what I felt in terms of letting people down. And, you know, so I had that going on and the worry about leading people down a path that was going to fail. And I had that coupled with, this is 3 years ago, and the real estate market had not yet recovered. And Beth and I were, man, we were really, it was push comes to shove. I mean, I was doing everything I could to list property and to sell houses and to do what I needed to do. And then I had to preach every week. And then that coupled with that, Beth and I took on two foster kids, and they were beautiful kids, Colin and Charlie. And when we brought Colin and Charlie into our house, there was just a lot of turmoil and friction, and it was hard. It was really hard on Beth and I, and it was just overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed with everything that was going on, and it was very, very dark. And again, you know, you couldn't be very transparent because I didn't want the church people to feel the fear that I really had, the fear that we were not going to be able to pull this out. And so that's, I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, it's a journal full of stuff, you know.
I was in, as you were talking about that story in first service.
Yeah.
One of the things that impressed me is that you also said, you're feeling all of this stress. You got the fear, you've got the uncertainty. You feel like you're in over your head at times.
Yeah.
Not only that, you've got the things going on in your personal life. Your heart, you have heartbreak when you lost your dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my dog
died. People don't understand.
I was at Catalyst, and my Shug was my dog, right? Shug was my Vizsla, and we got Shug, and then, you know, this is when Beth and I first got married. You know, we went to a flea market, and I got this dog, and I love my dog, man. And she was a bird dog, Hungarian pointer, just a beautiful little dog. And then, and man, when you get a dog and you're newly married, you know, it's just kind of a precursor to having a kid. So as soon as we got the dog, Beth got pregnant, and so the dog became mine. The dog was my dog. I would sit and rub on Shug, and we watched TV together, and, you know, Beth was, you know, handling the tine. And then you know, I was at Catalyst, and Shug's been gone. It was 3 years, and we just got back. Chris and I just got back from Catalyst with Chad. It's in Atlanta. It's a Catalyst conference, and I went out to the fire. There's a fire escape. I sat on the step the other day and took a picture because that's where I was when I found out my dog died. It was a bad deal. So my dog died, and all this went down, And then, you know, we finally, it was coming into the week before we were to open or trying to open, and we had parking lot issues, and we had all kinds of stuff. And I'm not trying to, it's not woe is me kind of thing. I'm just trying to share. Chris wants me to share with you about stress, so I'm trying to be transparent. But I remember the week that we opened, I still didn't know how we were going to make the ends meet with everything that was out. And it was touch and go in terms of us being able to hit our open date. And I remember I got a call on Wednesday. Pastor Chad, who was my man, longtime friend with Chris. Chris and I would meet with Pastor Chad at Living Hope and pray for Living Hope when Living Hope first started. and before Shelter was even around. But Pastor Chad, who helped with our sermon series, and we did things together. But right before we opened, Pastor Chad told me that he had resigned at Living Hope and he was going to Canton first. So I was losing one of my best buddies. And my dog had died. And then on top of all that, Colin and Charlie, they had to leave our house. And we thought Colin and Charlie were going to be ours, you know. And I remember when that social worker pulled up and, you know, we had to take them out to that car. And it was horrible. And so the weight and the heaviness and the worry and there's all this stress, it was a very, very dark place.
And the whole time you're going through this, you're still delivering a message every Sunday morning. And
yeah.
You're still caring for the congregation while you're handling this entire load.
Yeah,
right?
Trying to.
Right. Right. So, you know, part of what we want to go to is, how did you lean on God and utilize prayer to help you through this?
We kept knowing that we were doing the right thing. I mean, it was not a wrong thing for Beth and I to have Colin and Charlie in our house. It was the right thing. And our kids, the boys, they love Colin and Charlie. And we knew that was right. We knew that making that move, you know, was an answer to prayer. We knew that there was confirmation after confirmation after confirmation that we were doing the right thing. We knew that, you know, honestly, there was nothing that I tried to manufacture. And I had, you know, I had good, solid people ask me hard questions, you know, like, you know, are you sure this is right? Or, you know, and everything that we had done, there was nothing that I did to try to make or force something to happen. It was God. He just kept opening things. You know, he would open things up. So knowing, the only thing I knew to do was just to keep, at that point, I've never been in this position, but at that point, I had no choice but to be obedient. You know what I mean? I mean, there was no choice other than to, when you're out there and there's nothing in your own power that you can do to make any difference, you know, or to make things change. It's just, you're in a place where you have no choice but to trust. At least that's what I felt. You know, there was no choice. So in trusting God and in praying and just going to Him, He heard me and He heard the leaders and He heard those that were on the inner circle that knew everything that was happening. You know, He heard Keith. Keith knew. Chris knew. You know, there's a core group here that knew how deep and hard it was. And we just kept praying and trusting and believing that God was in this. And He was.
And God would provide an answer to each one of these things. As one of He's got the document right there, 18 different times that the Lord did something that other people, not us, I mean, other people were calling miracles when they understood it and saw what God did. And so time after time after time, you see God coming through, answering prayer, doing something amazing. Did you get to the point where you were excited to see the next miracle come?
No. I forget who it was. I was talking to them and I prayed. We were praying, I said this out loud and I had to recant it, but I said, man, I just don't want to see God have to do any more miracles. You know, that's what I said. And then quickly, you know, someone corrected me on that, you know, he corrected me because you know what, we don't want to stop seeing God continue to do miracles. And I think that when we're faithful as a church and we're faithful as a people, look, we're not here and it's all over. God has got more. He's stretching us and He's moving us. And here's the thing that we can't get complacent. You know, we call this the shelter and it's a safe place, but it's a safe place in a real rocky world. And it's a safe place no matter where God calls us to be. And I believe that God is going to continue to call us beyond what we think that we're capable of. He's going to call us beyond what we're able to, you know, fund or man. You know, He's going to call us, you know, keep calling us to deeper levels. And He's going to continue to move and bring miracles to us. So, you know, to say that we're here now and everything's going to be good and golden, no, man. I think God He's going to continue to stretch us and make us and shape. Because here's the deal. When you see a testimony like Cody's, that makes everything worth it. When you see a testimony like Cody, and God doesn't give church testimonies like Cody's and testimonies like we see week after week after week without having a community that's called and moved to share his gospel and to go into areas where it's not safe and to go into places where it's rocky and where there's risk, God is going to call us. I'm not saying call us to do things that are irrational or mismanaged kind of things. I believe that God is he's just moving us. And when I see testimonies like Corey's, it makes everything worth it.
So one of the things that caused us to want to have this interview and share the story with you is because we want you, some of you, this is the only shelter community you've known. As far as the building goes. And when you see the building, we want you to see that this is here because God helped make this happen. It is not because of human strength in any way, shape, or form. It is because God came in and provided miracle after miracle.
Yeah.
And then one of the things in your story, Ryan, I mean, as we talk about stress and we've been emphasizing praying and taking these things to God, but I think not to overlook this, how many times you've even said today, I had somebody correct me. I had somebody there who prayed with me. Or I had somebody there who supported me. I had somebody there I bounced this off of to help me make that decision. Yeah. It's where we as a community have to support each other, right? And help each of us make those good decisions and to continue down that path. And encourage us with hope that God is going to show up, even though we can't see him today, necessarily. So as we close here on our last question, what did you learn about trusting in God yourself as you went through this process?
I think what I learned was that that God always makes a way and that he never leaves you or forsakes you, and man, he stood, even though it was very dark, and even though it was depressing, and there was, it seemed like everywhere, you know, I couldn't get relief. Man, God just, he showed up, and he moves, and you know, when I see this building is really a memorial of how God answers prayer. And how God, you know, it's a memorial of how God can take something and help. He can help you get through whatever it is that you're struggling with or dealing with, you know. So I don't know. Does that answer that question?
Yeah, that answers it. I think you have a scripture that you wanted to share with everybody. Right?
Yeah, you know, in Psalms 107, it's one of my favorites. There's story, short story after short story after short story. And you get into the fourth short story of this Psalm 107, verse 23. And it says this, it says, some went off to sea in ships, and they were plying the trade routes of the world. They too observed the Lord's power in action, his impressive works on the deepest seas. And I believe this is where we're at. I believe that God calls us. When you're following God, he calls you into areas where you can't rely on anything other than him. And he did this with these people. It was a place where they were able to observe the Lord's power in action. And I can relate to this. God called us out. He called me out. He called all of us out into this place that was, we couldn't touch. We were in over our heads, you know, and it was deep. And he spoke, and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged again to the depths. And the sailors cringed in terror. And they reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. And this is where I was. I was at my wits' end. And I believe this, that God, He calls us out and He stirs things up, not to punish us, not to make our lives miserable, but He does it because He wants us to trust Him in deeper ways than what we've been able to trust Him before. And the only way He can get you to that level spiritually is when He calls you out. He's still calling me out. And He's calling you out. Many of you, I'm sure, are at a place in your life where you've been at a place where your testimony, you can understand it, what we're sharing here today. You can identify maybe where you're at right now. You're at a place where you're in over your head. You don't know what's next. You don't know what's coming on. But here's what we know. We know that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. It doesn't matter how deep. It doesn't matter, how stressed out or at our wit's end we are. Man, when we cry out to the Lord, this is what they did. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble. And He saved them from their distress. And He calmed the storm to a whisper. And He stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as He brought them safely into harbor. And this is where we're at now. You know, one of the miracles that I didn't mention was, okay, now that we're in this, how in the world are we going to get this thing refied? Because in 4 years, January, we've got the balloons up. And this week, we got our confirmation. Now, understand this. A year and a half ago, we had no money in the bank, and we were like we were $8,000 in debt. I don't know. It was a bad place. And now we have over $50,000 in reserves, and we just got a loan, a commitment from a credit union who's going to refi the building. And the building is going to be refi. So we cried out for help. You know, Lord, we cried out in our trouble, and He saved us from our distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper, and He stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as He brought them safely into harbor. Praise God. And where you are right now, I believe this, that if you cry out, man, God always answers. He always responds. And it says, let them praise the Lord for His great love and for the wonderful things that He has done for them. Let them exalt Him publicly before the congregation and before the leaders of the nation. Isn't that powerful? So that's what we're trying to do here, I think, this morning, is just to exalt the Lord before you. You're the congregation, and the what God has carried us through as a church, God is going to carry and continue to carry us through personally. Amen. Right on, right on, right on. Praise God. Let me pray. I want to pray for you. Bless you, God. Thank you so much for your favor and your blessing. Thank you for the truth that I had to get before I could go any deeper, and that truth was that, man, you are good for your blessing. You're good for your favor. God, thank you for that. And Lord, we're at a place now, Lord, where we're sharing this testimony and we're looking back and we're seeing and just taking note. We're praising you for how you have calmed the storm. We're trying to be obedient and share it with the congregation. And Lord, may what is heard today be received. And may they take this message, be it through Facebook stream or sharing it on Facebook or through their own story, their own testimony. May they, God, share it. May they, God, Lord, just share of how you have calmed the storm in their life and how you have brought them through. God, I pray, because there's a whole lot of people. There's 60,000 driving by this building every day. A whole lot of people in those cars where, God, they are going through something that they have no idea how they're going to make it. And they're at their wit's end. And, Lord, I just pray. I pray that the message that you've given will resonate. The message that you've given will be heard. The message that you've given will be received. Lord, we pray it will be. We pray for your continual blessing, your continual favor. We pray, God, that you will do a mighty work. Lord, this morning before we leave, God, I believe there's a lot of folks here that need to call out to you in their distress, in their trouble. They need to call out to you and ask you to save them from their distress, to save them. Lord, I just pray as our heads are bowed, Lord, just pray that folks would raise their hand. Those that need to pray and cry out to you, just raise your hand right where you're at. I'm not going to call. I see that hand. I'm not going to call you out. I see that hand, that hand, that hand, that hand, that hand. I see those hands right there. I see that, all those hands. Any others? I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise God. I see that hand. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Any others? Right where you're at, just respond to them with that gentle hand raise. I see that hand. Praise God. Praise God. Bow your head and pray with me. Lord, we call out for help. Lord, we call out to you in our distress and in our trouble. In the name of Jesus. Pray this with me, church. In the name of Jesus. I receive that you've saved me. I receive your salvation this morning. I believe that you're freeing me from my distress. Lord, I recognize it took 3 years, took 2 years, really. 3 years when we think about that refi. Lord, you are saving. There's a process sometimes to that happening. But you're bringing us out. You're bringing us through. And praise God, what I thank you for is that we as a church, we as a people, Lord, we now have a deeper level of faith and trust in you. Now we can look back and we can see how you have begun to do a new work in our lives. How you have begun to bring us through. How you've brought miracle after miracle after miracle for us to even be sitting right where we're at in our own personal life and even in the life of this church. For us to be sitting right where we're at, it has been miraculous, a miracle, an answer to your prayer, an answer for us crying out, calling out to you. Lord, I pray you bless this church and continue to show us favor. And as a church, God, we are willing to keep being stretched. We are willing to continue to be expanded, to move forward and do what you've called us to do, to continue to grow small in a really big way, God. We are willing to do that, to see more unchurched, out-of-church people come to know you, more life change, more baptisms like we've been able to see this morning. We ask for that. We pray that in Jesus' name. And all the folks say, right? Right on. Not right amen. On. Right on. Right on. You are dismissed.
Hey, real quick, I just wanted to say, have you guys met Bud and Susie down here? Susie shared something with me today, and I want to give glory to God for it. Because we celebrate something called right Wins on. Around here.
Yep.
And she told me that, can I share this? She told me that she's on her 8th anniversary Woo! Of being clean, right? Praise God. You guys have a great week.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.